As was announced, the scripture reading for this morning will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Let a man so consider us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful.
Good to be here this morning. We appreciate everyone's presence. There was a man who collected pearls. He was walking downtown and he saw inside of a store window the largest, most magnificent pearl that he had ever seen. And he knew immediately that he had to have it. So he went inside the store and he spoke to the store owner. He said, "You see that pearl? I want that pearl." He said, "How much will it cost?" The owner said, "How much you got?" He said, "Well, I have $300 in my pocket." The owner said, "That's good. What else do you have?" He said, "Well, I have a Chevy Suburban parked outside. It's only about 2 years old, low mileage, and it's paid off." He said, "That's great. I'll take that. What else you got?" He said, "Well, I have two CDs worth about $18,000. He said, "That's good. I'll take those as well. What else do you got?" And that just went on and on until finally the man had given up everything that he had, his house, his property, even his family. And finally the store owner said, "Okay, the pearl is yours." And the man started to leave the store, and the man stopped him and said, "Wait a minute, you know, the family you just gave me," he said, "I don't have time to care for them. Do you mind caring for them for me?" And he said, "Certainly, that would be great." And so he started to leave again, and the store owner stopped him once again. And he said, "Well, just a minute," he said, "you know, I really don't need another house. So why don't you and your family live in the house? And remember, it's my house, it belongs to me, but you all can live there." And he said, "That'd be okay, that's great." And the owner of the store said, "You know, now that I think about it, I really don't need any of your stuff. I have plenty myself. And so you take care of all of these things. I'll give them back to you, the CDs and the Suburban and even the $300. Now, they're mine. They belong to me, but you care for them. Use them wisely, and you can hold on to them." And so the man left the store. And he left the store with everything he had before, only now he had possession of the great pearl. And so the only thing that really changed with him is that when he walked into the store, he owned everything that he had. But when he left the store, he was just the caretaker of all of those things. Now I want you to stop and think. That is a good example, really, what happened to us when we obeyed the gospel. We saw Jesus through the written revelation of God's word, and we saw the gospel and all of the blessings involved in the gospel, and we said to ourselves, "I have to have that." And so we obeyed the gospel of Christ, and we became children of God. Now, we belong to Him, and the fact of the matter is, not only do we belong to Him, but everything that we have belongs to Him, because we have become stewards of God. The truth is, Christianity is a call to stewardship. I have a series of lessons on stewardship. I think I've preached it here, maybe the first year I was here. But in that series, I deal with very specific things. I talk about being stewards of our time and our treasure and our talents and our toddlers and teenagers and even our tongue. I want to talk about being stewards this morning, but I'm not going to address all of those specific subjects. And instead, I just want to talk in a general way. And I want to do so by asking the question, what kind of steward are you? And the very first point that I want to emphasize is the fact that being a steward of God is a great honor. Like, you just stop and think about, again, what a steward is. He takes care of that which belongs to another, especially when that person is away. And usually when we think about a steward and what he is watching over, it would include and involve the most important and valuable things that the owner possesses. And so when you think about that, if someone would ever ask you to be a steward for them, it would be a demonstration that they have a lot of confidence in you. They're asking you to watch over things that are very precious to them, the most valuable things they have in life. And it would be an honor to do that. Now you think about us. We're in the role of stewards. God has called us to be his stewards. And what that tells us is that God believes in us and he trusts us to take care of the things that he has given us while he is away. And what a powerful motivation that should be for those of us who are Christians to live the way God wants us to live. We are stewards of God. God is saying, in effect, I believe in you. Now, I want you to take good care of my things. They belong to me, but I trust you to do the right thing with those things that belong to me. I believe in you. Now, he would say, don't let me down. And we should take that very seriously. When we're not the kind of stewards we ought to be, we disappoint God. If we ever mishandle the word of God, we let him down. When we fail to defend the truth, to stand up for the gospel of Christ, we let God down. Or when we throw away opportunities to spread the gospel to those who are lost in the world, we're letting God down. When we fail to act the way God wants us to act as husbands and wives, we let God down. When we mistreat our children, we let God down. When we mismanage our money, we let God down. Whenever we're not acting the way God wants us to act, when we're not redeeming the time the way God wants us to, when we're not assembling with the saints as he has commanded us to, whenever we're unfaithful in any way, we're disappointing God. It's as if we're taking the things that God has given us and we're throwing them on the ground and stomping all over them. And certainly we don't want to do that, do we? We're stewards of God. The question is, what kind of steward are you? Are you doing your best to be the kind of steward that you need to be and that God wants you to be? Are you taking your stewardship seriously? If we're to do that, it all begins with realizing what a privilege, what an honor, and even a responsibility it is to be stewards of God. So for the next few minutes, let's look then at what kind of stewards we should be. I would suggest three things to you. First of all, we should be faithful stewards. It is very important that we are faithful stewards. In 1 Corinthians, I don't like the way that appears on the screen. I saw it on the small screen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we just read the passage. Turn over there and let's read that again. I'm hoping that that didn't happen to all of my slides. It wasn't on that. It wasn't like that when I put them on there. But look at 1 Corinthians in your Bible and chapter 4 and at verse 1 and 2. Again, the passage that was just read for us. It says, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ, stewards of the mystery of God, And then verse 2, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. So that's the first requirement of stewardship. We have to be faithful to God. What does it mean to be a faithful steward? Of course, it means that the faithful steward is going to do the job that the master gives him to do. But in Christianity, actually, being a faithful steward precedes that. In other words, in Christ, if we're going to be faithful stewards, we are first faithful to God. And then we're faithful in the carrying out of our duties before God. But it's very important that we are faithful to God. Let's see how this goes. It is not going to go well. So over in Philippians chapter 1, turn your Bibles over there to Philippians chapter 1, and let me show you what Paul says at verse 27. Philippians 1 at verse 27. Let's read this together. Philippians 1 and at verse 27. It says, now watch how this begins. It says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, let me tell you something about being a steward in the physical realm. That is not all that important. That is your manner of life. Like, the master really doesn't care. Whoever you're a steward over, the owner of the things you're watching over, he doesn't really care about your personal life too much. As long as you're getting the job done with his stuff. As long as you're caring for the things that belong to him. As long as you're being faithful in regard to watching over the things that are precious to him. He really doesn't care how you act or how you behave on your free time. But with God, it is not so. With God, how you live and how you act, how you behave is very important. So Paul says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. I want you to look at what Paul says here. He's talking about being a faithful steward. And he mentions three things here that I want to look at here. I have no idea who's in control of this thing anyway. Maybe you shut it down and turn it back on. I don't know. And we can just go like this. But first of all, our manners are important. It is the first part of that verse in this Philippian passage that again emphasizes this. Only let your manner of life. You see that manner of life there, the Greek word for that. Let your manner of life. The Greek word literally means to behave as citizens. And I've made the point many times before. In fact, I recently wrote a blog about it, and you've heard the point made. He uses that language here at Philippi because Philippi was a Roman colony. And that simply meant that a lot of the Roman soldiers would go and retire and live at Philippi. So most of the citizenship at Philippi were Roman citizens. And that's very practical. Paul often uses that in his teaching because at Philippi, those Roman soldiers, they were fiercely loyal to Rome. Like, they did not allow any of the customs of the locals to ever infiltrate their colony. They spoke the language of Rome. They observed all of the customs that people were observing at Rome. They wore the attire of Rome. Everything about them was Roman. Even though they were miles away from Rome, they were loyal to the Roman way. And now we as Christians are citizens of heaven. Remember Philippians 3 at verse 20? Again, to the same group of people, Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven. And just like those Roman colonists, we need to be fiercely. We need to make up in our mind very firmly that we're going to act the way heaven wants us to act, we need to be loyal to heaven. And what I mean by that is the one in heaven. That is, we need to be fiercely loyal to God. We need to use the language of heaven by making sure no corrupt communication ever proceeds out of our mouth. We need to make sure that we're following the customs of heaven by living the spiritual, morally upright life that God would have us to live. We need to wear the attire of heaven by dressing modestly and rejecting the ungodly garb of the world. In every way, we need to show we're not going to allow the world and the customs of the world to infiltrate our colony. We're citizens of heaven. And understanding that and acting like that is a part of being a faithful steward. But Paul said more in this particular passage. We have to have the mind of steadfastness. You notice he says he, with regard to these saints at Philippi, that when he wants to hear of them standing firm in one spirit. And God wants to hear that about us as well. Like, there's all kind of things that can become obstacles in our paths. And the reason for that is because the devil, remember, he's like a thief. He wants to break into our master's house and steal all of our master's stuff. But we're stewards. We're his stewards. And it's our job to watch over and to guard and to protect the things that belong to God. But the devil will do everything he can to disrupt that. What kind of stewards are we going to be? We need to be steadfast. We need to stand firm in the faith. We need, again, to be loyal to God in every way. Are you standing firm as a Christian? In this world in which we live that is filled with sin and filled with ungodly things, are you standing firm? We need to stand firm in every situation, in good times and bad times. We need to stand firm. We need to stand firm when we're surrounded by friends or encompassed by foes. We need to stand firm. We need to stand firm when it comes down to our convictions and our commitment to the Word of God. We need to stand firm with regard to our love and loyalty to our Heavenly Father. No matter what the world is doing around us, we need to be steadfast and we need to stand firm. And we need to stand firm because the things that we're watching over, they don't belong to us. They belong to God. We're just stewards. But are we standing firm? You've heard me say many times before that one of the problems in Christ, one of the problems with Christians is too many times we're wishy-washy. We don't stand firm. We're not steadfast. Sometimes we're faithful and then we go for a stretch being unfaithful and that simply won't get the job done. That's not being a faithful steward. Faithful stewards have the mind of steadfastness. No matter what the devil does, he might try to get me off track. He might get me to be weak and wobbly, but I'm going to stand firm. What kind of steward are you? And there's one more thing that he points out here, and that is we need to have the mentality of fearlessness. Notice in Philippians 1 at verse 27 again. He goes on to say, when I come and see, or am absent, he says, I may hear of your standing firm in one spirit. And then he said, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Notice he says, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. The world that we live in is harsh. I've already said, there's a lot of obstacles out there. The devil is alive and well. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And his allies are alive and well. And so sometimes we find ourselves under attack. There's ups and downs and trials and tribulations and difficulties in life. And sometimes the world is very hostile towards us. I think that's becoming more and more evident as time goes on. Things go in cycles, of course. There was a time, we all know, in the first century, in the first several centuries, when Christians were greatly persecuted. In this country, we don't have to worry too much about that, but it seems like the tide is changing. And even if there's not physical persecution where we worry about our very lives, we are ridiculed by people in the world. We're treated rudely sometimes by people in the world. We're mistreated by those who are hostile towards Christ in His righteous ways. The question is, are we going to allow that kind of treatment to stop us from being stewards? Paul said, don't be frightened by your opponents. At the turn of the 5th century at Rome, the great Colosseum was often packed with spectators. There was a man by the name of Telemachus. Said he was a tiny little short man. He was a Syrian monk. And he got caught up in the street there. There was a great crowd that was rushing towards the Colosseum. He kind of got caught up in the crowd. And when he was inside of the Colosseum, he saw the gladiator standing there, standing before the emperor and saying to the emperor, "We who are going to die salute you." And he realized that these gladiators were about to fight to the death just for the entertainment of the crowd. And he yelled out, "In the name of Christ, stop." Of course, the crowd was kind of out of control, and they didn't pay much attention. They could hardly hear them. He made his way to the little wall there that led down to the arena. He climbed over the wall and dropped down to the floor of the arena and started running towards the gladiators. When the crowd saw the little tiny figure, they really thought it was a part of the show, of the games, and they started laughing. And then when they realized it wasn't a part of the games, their laughter turned to anger. And he got to one of the gladiators and he continued to say, "In the name of Christ, stop." The gladiator that he was closest to turned to him and just automatically thrust him through with his sword. Telemachus fell to the ground dying, and his last words were, "In the name of Christ, stop." And of course they didn't. But he had the courage to do what he thought was right. You know, one problem with fear is it paralyzes us. It stops us from doing what we need to do, from making a stand for Jesus. It stops us from proclaiming the gospel of Christ like we should. It stops us from being good stewards. It causes us to be silent when we ought to speak. It causes us to be still when we should be moving. It causes us to be idle when we ought to be active. It paralyzes us. What we need to have is courage. We need to listen to the words of Paul. Don't be frightened by your opponents, whoever they may be. Have the courage to do what is right in everyday life, whether you're on the job or at school or wherever you are. Have the courage to stand up for Christ and be a faithful steward. Paul certainly was like that. You remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, of course, that Paul, he admits to the brethren at Corinth. He said, "I was with you in fear and trembling." But you know what Paul did? He preached the gospel to those people. They became Christians. He had quite the time with those saints at Corinth, of course. But they became children of God because Paul, even though he was in a hostile environment, like he was preaching a moral message to a bunch of immoral people. He was emphasizing the one true and living God to a bunch of people who believed in all kind of idols. He was in hostile territory, telling those who worship idols, "No, those are dead, dumb idols. There's one God that you need to serve. There's one Lord that you need to obey." He said, I was scared. I was with you in fear and trembling. But he still preached the gospel. John Wayne once said that courage is when you're scared to death and you still saddle up. And that's true. It doesn't take much courage to do something that you're not afraid to do. But when you're afraid to stand up for Christ, you're worried about the reaction to the gospel of your friends, sometimes even family members. You might be rejected or even worse. And when you're afraid about that, but you still preach the gospel anyway, that's courage. And that's what we need to be good stewards. Are you a faithful steward? Well, let's move on and see what shows up. And that's not even moving. Here's the second thing. We should strive to be good stewards. And 1 Peter chapter 4 at verse 10. Turn with me in your Bibles to that place. 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter has something to say about stewardship in this particular passage. He says this, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the verses 10. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God, of God's varied grace. Good stewards. And as you look at this passage, the word gifts here, the Greek word is used in different ways. Sometimes, I think it appears 17 times in the New Testament. And sometimes it's referring to miraculous gifts. And sometimes it's just referring to the natural gifts that God gives us. And of course, we know if you're visiting with us, we could talk with you further about this if you don't agree. But the miraculous gifts have ceased. They ceased when the written word of God was complete. But we still have natural gifts. God still blesses us with talent and ability. And a lot of what Peter says and a lot of what the Bible says, even about spiritual gifts with regard to their application, is still true regarding the natural gifts that God gives us. There's two things right here in this verse I want you to notice. He says again, as each has received a gift, use it to serve. Now notice that part right there. He simply says, use it. You cannot be a good steward of God if you don't use the gifts that God has given you. If you don't use the ability that He has blessed you with to further the cause of Christ, you're not a good steward. What talent do you have? You notice the reading of this, and each has received a gift. I believe that that is true even with regard to natural gifts, that each one of us has received a gift, that God has given us a talent. You can't read that without thinking about the parable that Jesus gave. So turn your Bible over to Matthew chapter 5. We won't spend a lot of time here. I think we're familiar with it, but the language it deals with exactly what we're talking about. Matthew chapter 25 and at verse 14. Matthew 25 at verse 14. It says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. Now, what is that? That's a steward, isn't it? He uses the word servant here, but one of the things we know that is that a steward basically is a servant. All stewards are servants. They serve their master. Jesus is describing stewardship here, though. So again, he says, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. He gave to each talents. Yeah, but he only gave 1 talent, right? But he had a talent, didn't he? You may have one, or you may have two, or you may be one of these five talented people. But God has given you a talent. Here he gave these men talents, and then he went away. And it says, he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. He was a good steward, wasn't he? He took care of his master's property to the point where he multiplied it. And the master appreciated it. He called him good and faithful. He was a good and faithful steward. And the same thing is said about the individual who received two. Well done, good and faithful servant, he said to him as well. But at verse 24, it says, he also who had received one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. And he gets off to the wrong track. On the wrong track right away. Now, that was an unfair characteristic about his master. There's no indication in the text that he is a hard man. And yet some people view God like that too. They think he's so hard. He's sitting on his throne in heaven and he can't wait to condemn people. Well, if you Christians are right and the place called hell is real, that's just a terrible God that you serve. People disrespect God all the time. But while God is in some ways an unsparing God, he is a loving God with more love and more grace and more kindness and more long-suffering than anyone who has ever existed before. And to say that he is hard is to mischaracterize God. And that was the case with this man. He had the wrong idea of who God was. And so he said, I knew that you were a hard man. And then he even said, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. In other words, I knew that you're pretty much unfair. And it was his misunderstanding of his master, really, that caused him to be afraid. He said, so I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground, and here you have what is yours. But his masters answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was mine with interest. And so take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and to him that has an abundance. But from the one who has not even what he has will be taken from him. Now watch. Cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What happens if you don't use your talents? Your master is not going to be happy. If you're idle, if you don't use the ability, whatever that ability might be, song leading, visiting the sick, whatever it might be, we all have a talent and ability that we can use to the glorification of God. If you just hide it in the ground and don't do anything with it, God will view you as worthless from the standpoint of stewardship. God values all of us. But from the standpoint of stewardship, listen, I don't want to be harsh, but the fact of the matter is, if you're not using the talent that God has given you, that's worse than being useless. Because not only are you not going to use your talent for God's glorification, you're squandering the possession that he has given you. And that makes God mad. So much so where Jesus in this parable, he gives us the clear application. What's going to happen to those who refuse to use their ability to further the cause of Christ? There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Are you using your talent? Are you a good steward? But you know, one more thing in connection with that, I won't look at this in a great way, first of all, because my slides aren't working. But one of the things back over there in that passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, did you notice that it emphasized that we are to use our gift to serve one another? Let me remind you about whatever gift you have. Whatever it is, God wants you to use it for the furtherance of the cause of Christ and to help your brethren. That's why God gives us gifts and talents and abilities. And there's passage after passage where Paul talks about serving other people, giving up his rights even in Christ in order to serve others. Paul said, I've become a servant to all. And we all need to have that attitude. Whatever ability you have, God gave it to you for that very purpose, not just to enhance your own life, but to help the cause of Christ and to help other people. There's several passages that emphasize that. I'll look at just one. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And at verse 15, I believe it is. Galatians 5. At verse 13, Paul says, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Like whenever God blesses us, it's not just to benefit us. You are free in Christ. If you are a steward, you have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. So not only are you a steward, but you have real freedom in Christ. Paul says, don't use it in the wrong way. Don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. That's what Christianity is all about, servitude. Paul was a great Christian because he did a whole lot of serving. And the fact of the matter is, in doing that, he was following in the steps of Jesus. There's no one who has ever served more than our Savior. Remember when he washed the disciples' feet? That was just an example. And then you recall, he said, now you do as I have done to you. But in real life, Jesus served no better than when he was on the cross and he died for our sins. That was the greatest act of servitude ever. He could tell his disciples, I want you to be servants. I want you to be like me. He said in one place, the servant is not greater than the master. Since Jesus served so much, he expects us to serve others. How are you using the ability that you have? You just buried it, or are you using it? And are you using it in a way that actually helps other people? Very important. All right, well, the third point, and the lesson will be yours. We should strive to be wise servants. And that's important. We recognize that. Turn over to Luke chapter 12 just quickly. In Luke chapter 12 and at verse 41, it says, and Peter said, this is Luke 12 at verse 41. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager? So he's talking about stewardship here again. Who is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time. Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Now, quickly, you can't see the first part of that, but three more points. Who is the wise servant? Number one, he's the one who acknowledges his position. That's first. Again, Jesus uses the terms steward and servant interchangeably because the steward always serves. So the good servant or steward is the one who acknowledges his position. Let me tell you what a servant of God never does. He doesn't argue with the master. Like, that's true in the physical realm, isn't it? You ever see a servant arguing with the master? No, he doesn't argue with the master. He doesn't try to change the instructions that come from the master. He doesn't try to get out of doing what his master has told him to do. He doesn't argue that the instruction, whatever it is, doesn't make any sense. He doesn't do any of that. He simply complies to the instructions. Why? Because he knows he's a servant. He acknowledges his position. You want to be a wise steward? You have to understand who you are and what position you are in. Don't try to get out of doing what God has told you to do. Don't argue. Don't fight about it. Just do it. Because that's what God expects of us. It begins with acknowledging our position. The one who gives himself up, that's the definition of a servant. And that, just think about the first part of that. The one who gives himself up. That's the hardest part of being a steward. Giving yourself up, but that's a part of this. And then he accomplishes what is commanded. He actually does. Like, look back over here in Luke chapter 12, and you notice what Jesus said in this parable. Blessed is the servant whom his master will find what? So doing. So the wise steward does. If you're not doing anything in Christ, you're not a very good steward. God has given you some duties. We all have responsibilities. Some of those responsibilities we all have in common. But the question is, are we doing what the master has commanded us to do? The wise steward understands the importance of doing that. Then you see the final one. He's aware of the day of reckoning. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is coming back. And the wise steward knows we're going to be accountable at that time. And so again, the question is, what kind of servant are you? Are you a servant who is faithful and good and wise? It's not like it doesn't matter. You can leave here this morning and you can ignore everything that we have studied. But the fact of the matter is, the master's coming back. He's away and we're taking care of his stuff while he's gone. But one of these days, he's coming back. And at that time, we're all going to answer for our stewardship. The wise steward acknowledges that, recognizes that. What kind of steward are you? I think we all probably can do better. But we need to do our very best to be faithful and good and wise over all of the things that God has given us. Remember, they don't belong to us. We're just taking care of them. And I hope we do a good job. Well, are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Do you want to be a steward of God? Do you want to obey the gospel and start working for the Lord? There's so much joy in being a child of God. There's so many blessings in being a Christian. But you have to obey the gospel. We're about to sing the song, Nothing But the Blood. There's only one thing that can wash your sins away. That's the blood of Christ. But in order to contact it, you have to obey the gospel. You have to be baptized into the death of our Lord, Romans 6 and at verse 3. If you want to be baptized here this morning, there's water right behind me. Everything is ready. You can put on Christ in the waters of baptism and become one of his stewards. But you have to act. Don't procrastinate. Do what's right. Become a child of God. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.